السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. إن شاء الله this is a return from a long time with أسماء الله الحسنى. The names, beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about the name Al-Sattar, Al-Sattar. And as we usually do, we'll go to the name of the meaning of the Arabic language, what is the concept of it, and how it is when Allah described himself with it, and how it is when we are described with this name, and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this name. As-Sattar meaning, Satr is to cover and protect and conceal. To protect, conceal and cover. The word sitara in Arabic meaning, we use it as a curtain, meaning something that would be pulled down and you don't know what is behind it. It for the purpose of concealing, protecting something private. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Sattar is the one who does so for us, who covers for us, covers our faults, covers our sins, covers our imperfection, and conceals it. And in the day of judgment, the one that his deeds, the bad deeds was covered in this life, you know, he has a chance for his deeds to be covered in the hereafter as well. All mankind are khata'oon. They commit sins. They have faults. But khayrul khata'een at-tawwaboon. The best of those who are sinners are the one who repents. Okay? So the common denominator is we are all sinners. Okay? But then there are better sinners than others. Those who when they sin, they repent and go back to Allah and make tawbah and istighfar. Those are the best of sinners. Okay? And their sins are taken away and it is covered. Okay? To the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the bad deeds to good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah talked to us about the muttaqoon, those who protect themselves, those who become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment, so they protect themselves, they are aware of Allah, so they are conscious of Allah, those who have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those who are muttaqoon, they can commit a fahisha. Imagine that. Taqwa, a person who's taqi, commits a fahisha. Now, you see, how could that be, or what is the evidence of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And hurry up and come running to a forgiveness from Allah. A forgiveness that is prepared for you from Allah. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. That is a jannah, okay, arduha ka ardi as-samawati wal-ard, or arduha as-samawati wal-ard. The width of Jannah, the heavens, as equal to the heavens and the earth, the whole universe. Imagine the width, not the length. The width of Jannah is equal to this whole universe. Okay, so compete, hurry up, come running to maghfirah from Allah and this Jannah. Whom is this prepared for? U'iddat lil muttaqeen. It's prepared for those who are muttaqoon. Okay? Then Allah said, Alladheena, those muttaqoon. Okay, now Allah will describe to us who they are. Who are the muttaqoon? Alladheena. Okay? Yunfiquna, they spend. Fi s-sarra'i wa d-dara'a. Okay? They spend in good time and they spend in bad time. Meaning they spend when Allah has given them and they spend when Allah holds back on them. في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ. And those who hold their anger. والعافين عن الناس. And those who forgives people. Those who forgive people. والله يحب المحسنين. And Allah loves those who do more than they have to. Are muhsineen. Those who do things in a beautiful way and more they are asked to. These are the descriptions of what? Al-Muttaqoon. Okay? Al-Ladheena again. They spend when in good time. They spend when is in difficult time. Okay? And they hold back their anger. And they forgive people. And they have ihsan, they do more than they have to do in a beautiful way. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and describes the quality of the muttaqeen. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. And they are those who when they commit a fahisha. Now it is a sin like a fahisha, something that is unacceptable. Okay, now who done it? The muttaqoon. Remember, first we said, all mankind are sinners. Even al-muttaqoon are sinners. Their possibility could commit a sin. So Allah says, the quality of al-muttaqoon with all what we just mentioned, and then when they commit a fahisha, ذكرullah, they will remember Allah immediately. Okay? فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Okay? Then they ask Allah to forgive their sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who forgives except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is asking. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّ عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. And they do not insist on what they have done. That means they commit a sin, immediately they remember Allah, immediately they ask for forgiveness. And Allah is the most forgiving. And they do not insist on what they have done. So there is no time that lapses between the committing of the fahisha and remembering Allah and asking forgiveness for Allah the most forgiving. There is no time that lapses between the fahisha and the repentance and the remembrance of Allah. Remember, Adam alayhi salam. He committed a disobedient. Allah told him and his wife, "Inna hadha aduun laka wa lizawjik." Indeed, this one here is your enemy and the enemy of your wife. فلا يخرجنكما من الجنة فتشقى. So do not make him get you out of this Jannah because you're going to have difficult time, Adam. And then the shaitan came to them, says, do you want me to tell you, Adam, you and your wife, why Allah told you not to get near that tree? Okay. Again, we talked about this sneaky way of asking. Sneaky way of asking. See, by that question, you would think that shaitan will never remind them with the command, right? If he wants them to not to follow the command, he will not remind them with the command. But no, he reminded with the command first. So now we ask, what is the benefit that Shaitan had from reminding them with the command? Okay? And this could be the benefit. The benefit in evil. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us something to do, we should say what? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Right? We hear and we obey and we believe. We hear and we hear and we obey. So now, why do you pray? Because Allah said so. That's all. Why do you fast? Because that's a command of Allah. The wisdom behind it, you know, we can discuss it. That. So when Allah told Adam alayhi salam, don't get near the tree, and his wife, don't get near the tree. So what happened? Fine. No question asked, right? So now, Shaitan wanted Adam alayhi salam to switch the way of thinking from sami'na wa ata'na to what it's truly, why, what is it, what was, you know, and start being curious about this. So by Shaitan saying, do you know why Allah told you not to get near the tree? Now he thought, his mind, the process of thinking switched from total obedience to got off that track a little bit. The answer should have been what? Does it matter? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. It's just enough that Allah said, don't get near the tree, that's all. Okay? But by poking this curiosity and poking this interest, he made Adam, you know, pause a little bit, and his wife pause a little bit. So he said that this is shajaratul khuld wa mulkin la yabla. It is the shajara, the tree of living forever, an ownership that will never go away. The point being is, Adam alayhi salam and his wife got near it. But as soon as they came near and ate from it, they realized, they said, Rabbana, zalamna anfusana. Our Lord, we committed injustice to ourselves. So what happened? They committed fahisha, they committed, they disobeyed Allah. But Adam alayhi salam and his wife immediately remembered Allah when they did so. And they said, Allah, we committed injustice to ourselves. And if you don't forgive us, ya Allah, we are doomed. So they immediately returned to Allah. This is a sign of a muttaqi. Okay? So here is a temptation could be on the path of a believer. Okay? And he might fall in it. But a sign of a muttaqi is the one who remembers Allah immediately and ask Allah to forgive him and seek forgiveness and does not insist on what he has done. Okay, forget it, put it in the past, does not insist on it. Okay? So here is, Allah says the muttaqi could be like this. So do you think this muttaqi, Allah will expose him? No. Allah is as-sattar, the one who will cover on this muttaqi. Okay? Even on those who are not muttaqeen, Allah will still cover on them and cover on them and cover on them until the time would be uncovering their ways will be the best thing to be done for them to be exposed so they could learn the lesson and go back. Okay? He who stole, investigated the matter, he was found guilty and the penalty was to cut his hand. His mother came to run into Umar radiallahu anhu and says, he did not, this is the first time, please, this is the first time, don't. What was his answer? He said, Allah is too merciful to have him be caught from the first time. Impossible. Allah is too merciful. Allah is a sattar, will cover and cover. Doesn't make sense that to say that this is, he's caught from the first time. And he was asked, he said, this is my 20th or 21st time or something of sort. Okay? So, even in the hudud, which is the penalty for breaking rules, like for fornication or zina, adultery and so forth, the condition is that four adults, sane, just, people could see the two people in the act. Right? Now, tell me what kind of a society that this would be, okay? Or how could this happen? Okay, almost it's impossible for this to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the rule, okay, of conviction so difficult. So whatever is happening, a fahisha is happening behind closed doors. Okay, so Allah within this law, they're covering on those who are committing fahisha, committing zina. Okay, so when they are uncovered, that means the society is becoming very loose. So now when four are witness on such action, then that means the penalty has to be there. And so it is, so the rule is done to deter, not for punishment. Okay, for deter, more deterrent than punishment. Okay, if it was only for punishment, say if you have just doubt that they have done this, you could, you know, without, you know, but Allah made it so difficult to convict and to, you know, such an action, to be a witness and to if one sees it, no, if two, no, three, no, but four, yes. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sattar even in such rulings. The one who covers on those who are disobeying Allah, but Allah will expose them to bring them back to Allah. Okay, bring them back to Allah. And we know all of this. All of us know this, that within one time or another in our lives, we all have bad habits, and each one of us has a particular bad habit. We try to get rid of it, and so forth. And you find out that, you know, you wake up when you are real, when you fell on your face, then you say, oh, I should control myself, I should protect myself, I should adjust myself, I should change myself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers unbelievers so they will stay in the path. And Allah will uncover believers so they can come back to the path. Okay? When they are away from the path to the point that they are more away than on the path, it is time to be exposed so they know that they really have to hold on to the path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sattar, the one who covers. And in the day of judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us about the person who will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stand for his judgment, and his deeds, the bad deeds, will be exposed, and he will have some fear. Here are his bad deeds are being shown one after the other after the other. Now he thinks that he is doomed. He will be asked, after all his bad deeds shown, my servant, are these all your bad deeds? Yes. Did my angels add things that doesn't belong to you? No. Did they forget anything? No. Complete? Yes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, we covered it for you in your life, and now we're going to take it away in at this time as well. So it will be all covered and taken away. Now his good deeds will show. Okay? And now he will have the likeness of the people of Jannah. Now he will go back to his people. His people will not recognize him. They will think that he's an angel. And he will tell them, I am so and so, giving you glad tidings, good news, that what awaits for you. Point being is that Allah is as-sattar at the day of judgment as well. For those who repented, those, because all of us will come to Allah with some sins. Okay? And those who are muttaqoon, who will come with sins, they are the one that Allah will take their sins away, cover them that day. And part of being covered that day is because you covered someone in this life. We cannot go on in life hoping to expose people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith that is sahih. خَيْرُ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ, the best of the servants of Allah, الَّذِينَ إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ, they are the one that when they are seen, Allah is mentioned. Allah is remembered or mentioned. So that means that they present some piety and some path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when people see them, they remember Allah, or they remember, they present goodness, so therefore they stop what they're doing if it is not good. They stop what they're saying if it's not good. They remember to remember Allah. Why? Because the person who's coming now is like become their conscience. Become their conscience. They are the best of servants of Allah. And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued and said, and the worst of servants of Allah, ibadillah, the one that yamshuna bin namima, they walk around with namima. Okay? Namima means backbitings. They talk about others. So, what is talking about others? It's about exposing others. Okay? Taking the curtains off others. Saying, do you know so and so? You know what happened? You know what I heard and what he did? I saw what this. Do you know what the people saying about so and so? Okay? They are the worst, Rasulullah ﷺ told us. As-Sayyida Aisha, radiallahu anha, she told Rasulullah ﷺ one day, you know, Safiya, ya Rasulullah, she's like, and she went with her hand like this. Okay? And she meant Safiya, meaning the other wife, one of the other wives of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she put her hand up like that, meaning like she is short. Right? Like she put her hand down, like, you know, Safiya, Rasulullah, she's, you know, like this and that. Then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a word that if it is thrown in the ocean will make it rotten. And so she answered, Ya Rasulullah, what I said was true. Right? Like she is really short, I did not lie. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and do you want to lie also? Okay? Meaning, what you have done, what you have said was something bad, even though it was true, but it is bad. Because you're saying something you perceive about someone else, and you are in a negative way, you're mentioning it in a negative way. That is bad. That is namima. Okay, but to make something up about somebody, that is buhtan. That is a namima plus lie. That is buhtan. Okay, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are yamshuna fi nasi bin namima. They walk around with people talking about others, namima. Mufarriquna bayna al-ahbab. They divide between those who loved one another. And how do they do that? Of course, by talking. Do you know this? Do you know what I heard? Do you know this? And expose things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to lie in this situation to make things up. And that is one of the points or one of the situations that we are allowed to lie. When two brothers are having difficulties, they're not talking to one another, it is okay to go to each one individually and tell them about what the other said good about them. And even if it is not true, a lie is recommended in such situations. Or let us say a lie is acceptable in that situation. Okay? So they Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they walk with the namima between people, and also they separate between يُفَارِقُونَ بَيْنَ الْأَحْبَابِ أو الْمُفَرِّقُونَ الْمُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ الْأَحْبَابِ. They separate between those who love one another. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, الراغبون في للبراء العيب. Those who wish for البراء, براء meaning those who are innocent, innocent. العيب, they wish for them faults. And in another narration of the hadith, العنت, instead of the word العيب is العنت. العنت mean difficulties. So the look at those who are براء, their innocence, meaning those who they cannot find faults about them. Those they cannot talk about them. Okay? They cannot, you know, go around and say namima about them. Okay? They wish that they will be at some kind of fault. Okay? Or they wish that they will be at some kind of difficulty. Okay? So here is the worst. Rasulullah ﷺ told us that they are the one who want to lift the curtains of people so they would see faults and mention it. They try to separate between people, so they lift the curtains off of them so they be exposed. And even when they lift the curtain and they see nothing wrong, they wish there would be something wrong. Okay? And they would wish to have some difficulties on the person that is bari, that is innocent of everything. Okay? So, but the one who is the best is the one that when he is seen, or those who are the best or the ones that will, when they are seen, Allah is mentioned. Allah is mentioned. Okay? So the worst to do is to not to be sattar on somebody, not to cover on someone. It is encouraged that when you see someone at fault, you actually try to conceal that. And when we conceal the faults of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal our faults at the day of judgment. Okay? Even the hypocrites in Medina, a hypocrite is the person who shows different, an action that is different than what he believes or what he feels. So he could be a disbeliever and shows that he is a believer. He is wicked and shows that he is kind. Okay, and so forth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew the disbelievers, the hypocrites in Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the hypocrites, they are the hypocrites and munafiqun, في الدرك الأسفل من النار. They are in the lowest level of hellfire. They are in the lowest level in the hellfire. You know, hellfire is a level. They are that you'll find the hypocrites in the lowest one. Even though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew them, he did not expose them. So you find them walking around, smiling to the Muslims. Muslims dealing with them as if they are Muslims. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that they are hypocrites, but he did not expose them. Okay? Because we do not deal with the inside. We only deal with the outside. So if they come to, with the Muslims, then pray. If they, you know, act like Muslims. If they come around and say, Assalamu alaikum. If they say, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah. You know, And you know, in certain occasions they do the right thing and so forth. That's all you have in the society, and you don't investigate. You have the surface, and that's it. If they are covered, if they are inside of them, their hearts and their actions when they are alone and so forth is so miserable, this is not for you to investigate and find out. You have the surface, what on the outside and how they're dealing in the open, that's all. So Rasulullah ﷺ kept that secret and did not expose them. But when one of them dies, then Muhammad ﷺ will expose him then by saying to the companions, do not pray on him. He was a hypocrite. He was a hypocrite. And when Rasulullah ﷺ, before he died, he told one of the companions all the names, the rest of them. And he was the only one who knew it. And he would wait until one dies. He did the practice of Rasulullah. Then he would tell the Muslims, do not pray on him. He was one. Okay? And subhanAllah, Umar radiallahu anhu went to that person who has the names. He said, I want to ask you. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you. He said, no, I'm not going to ask you to tell me the names. I'm just going to ask you if my name is among them. Okay? Who's saying that? Umar radiallahu anhu. Okay? So what does that mean? What does that mean? See, nifaq there are kinds of nifaq. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said al-munafiq. Huh? And give us the quality of a munafiq, a hypocrite. When he promises, he breaks his promise. When he talks, he lies. Okay? When he is trusted with an amana, he betrays the trust. And when he has animosity with people, he goes beyond the boundary in hurting others with venom and vigor and venom to hurt others. Okay? Now, all of us have something of these. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, you know, one can have one quality of hypocrite, being a hypocrite. Okay? And so he is not a hypocrite unless he has all. Okay? But he's a hypocrite. He has a quality of hypocrisy and he needs to get rid of it. One quality of hypocrisy that most of us have, we are invited to go to somewhere at 6 o'clock and you say, when will you be here? We say, 6 sharp. And we know always we arrive at 7 o'clock. Okay? Well, that is hypocrisy. That was you, because you promised and you were already planning to break your promise. You knew, you did not make an effort, and it becomes a habit with us. It becomes not a big deal. What time is the function? 5 o'clock. Okay. And I, as I always say, I wish to have a function at Dar al-Taqwa at 5 o'clock. It will be a dinner function. And serve dinner and clean up before 6. And those who come at 6, we don't have any food to eat. Okay, those who come late, an hour, they will not have food to eat. Then we will, next month, we'll say the function at 5 o'clock. Everybody will show up at 5. Okay, the point being is that there are those who like to expose others. Okay, and those who covers on others. You cover and Allah will cover on you. You expose and Allah will expose you. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sattar. And we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He is covering for us. Imagine how many thoughts in your life you had, or we, I mean, I'm not being, you know, away from the crowd, all of us, how many thoughts we had in our lives, and we thanked Allah for not exposing it and being concealed, so we will not be put to shame. It is from the bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. And this is one of the signs of taqwa. One of the tests of taqwa is if you do not mind all your thoughts in your mind and your heart to be physically put on a plate outside of you and everybody can look at it. Okay? When you do not mind doing so, you have taqwa. But if you shy and you want to hold back certain thoughts, as we're sitting here, imagine all your thoughts that you had before you come here today and so forth. You don't mind to expose it all for everybody to see. You have taqwa. Because whenever you get a thought that is not proper, you know Allah is aware of it, so you get rid of it. But if you entertain it, then you're away from Allah. Because you're not quite aware in your conscience that Allah is aware of what's in you. So you did not mind that Allah will look at that which is imperfect in you, but you mind that people will look at it. So you thought of people, you thought that people were more important than Allah. So to bring it out for others to see, said no. But to keep it inside of you, said no problem. No. A person who has taqi can constantly get rid of these thoughts and repent to Allah, and always have a heart, try to always have a heart that is salim, a heart that is sound. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, that the deeds varies with Allah in reward. Okay, the deeds varies with Allah with the variety of hearts. Okay, the deeds varies with Allah in goodness with the variety of hearts, meaning that it depends. Allah will look at your deed according to where your heart is in it. So you could have a small deed, but will be looked at as so great because your heart is salim, is good in it. You could have a huge deed, but it's not going to mean much with Allah because the heart has some sickness in it while you're doing the deed. So this relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it varies according to our heart. It varies according to our heart. So the heart that wishes to expose others, this is a heart that does not deserve to be close to Allah. And the heart that wishes to conceal on others, to protect them, and asking Allah to forgive them and so forth, this is the heart that is sound, that deserves to be close to Allah. So, and it goes back to that which is inside of you. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا أَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah does not look at your outside, your picture outside, how you look outside, nor does Allah look at your wealth. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. But Allah looks at your hearts and at your deeds. Okay? That is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sattar. He covers on you. And you, if you like to cover on others, then your heart will be the heart that you will be feeling good that Allah looks at. It will be the heart that is has health in it, not sickness. It will be the heart that worthy and ready to enter Jannah. Okay? Because if we are walking around on earth with a heart that is salim, that is healthy, you are going to be labeled as a person of Jannah. Just know this. Because only a heart that is salim, healthy and sound will be qualified to enter Jannah. So when someone in this life have such a heart, then he will be a person of Jannah. Because if you die at that moment, you are qualified to enter Jannah. It's done. And remember the famous hadith that we say all the time. When Rasulullah ﷺ said, a man who will enter from this door of the masjid is a person of Jannah. And a particular a companion walked in, and it happened 3 days in a row, the same companion walked in with the same words that Rasulullah ﷺ said. Another companion wanted to find out how could he be a person of Jannah, what does he do so special? He went, stayed with him for 3 days, and he found out that he does the same thing that everybody else. So finally he exposed this. He said, Rasulullah ﷺ told us such and such about you. What do you do so special that deserves this? He said, he could not figure it out. For I do like everybody else. But he said, there is something that I do every night. What? He visits his heart. And he makes sure that any ill feeling that he has toward anybody is taken out of his heart before he sleeps every night. So before he went to sleep every night, his heart was salim, was healthy. So therefore he was a person of Jannah. Therefore he was a person of Jannah. Do you think a person who forgives everybody and makes sure that his heart does not carry any ill feeling toward anybody every day, do you think the following day he will wake up and say, let me talk to you about what this person did and what that person did? No. Why? Because this is gone out of his heart. So when the person starts walking around exposing, taking this curtain off and exposing others, you know that the heart is carrying all of that. Okay. Does that mean you do not prevent harm? No, you prevent harm. And if you're going to expose injustice, expose it. Okay? If injustice happened to others, you must try to stop it. Okay? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, help your brother, ظالماً أو مظلوماً. Help him. If he's committing a sin, if he injustice happened to him, or when he is unjust himself. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we know how to help him if he's experienced injustice. Meaning to stand by him to lift the injustice that is on him. But if he himself is committing injustice, how can we help him? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you help him by stopping him from committing injustice. By stopping him from committing injustice. So if you found somebody is committing injustice, you know, to others and so forth, and you cannot say, you know, I'll just cover on him. No, no, no. You're not going to walk around in namima, I suppose, but at the same time, you need to stop him from committing injustice. This is a balance that a Muslim does. Maximizing the benefit, minimizing the harm, joining which is good, prohibiting that which is evil, and so forth. Okay. But at the end, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always covers on us. And we need to be aware of this and never forget that. And we always think about things that's imperfect in us that is covered by Allah, and we need to get rid of it. If we do not and keep so much of it and insist on it, it will be uncovered for our own goodness. So we need to thank Allah for the satr that He has on us. Okay? For the aib, the imperfection that we have that is not exposed. At the same time, we ask Allah to help us to work out this imperfection and work out this feeling of actions that are not up to the standards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us, or to the standards not up to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a sign of piety as well, that a person that he's committing something that is so little, but he feels that it is so huge and big. That means it's a healthy sign for us to have. And if you find ourselves doing something that is bigger and looking at it as little, that is a bad sign. This is a sign of a person who is taking things for granted, taking the satr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us for granted. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those who are conscious of their fault and work to get rid of it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep covering our fault and help us to get rid of it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never make us from among those who follow the fault of others to expose them. Please, inshallah, as we are used to, this, inshallah, make comments and please, do you have a microphone there? Okay.
for others, anyone who would like to.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This fascia word, does it cover like all the sins, or is adultery, or how do you explain the detail?
Yes. Fahisha is more than munkar. Munkar is more than baghi. Okay? So there's a baghi, munkar, and fahisha. Yes. Fahisha could be fornication, yes. Yeah, Allah said, I forgot, as I was reciting, verse, I missed something. الَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. If they commit a fahisha, or they commit injustice against themselves, right? So here is, fahisha is a bigger than committing injustice to yourself. Yes. Yes.
Well, I have the question of that, when you say that person is heart clean, he goes to Jannah, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Like that, Rasulullah said, the man who goes to Jannah. Clarify that, because a lot of people has this problem. Mm-hmm. Does not pray, does not fast, but he claimed, my heart is clean, I don't do harm to anybody. So please clarify that one. Please.
Yeah, well, Islam is a commitment with the heart, and a word to be uttered by the tongue, and an action with the limbs. We do not separate them. All of them is the same package. Those who separate one from this and claim that they are believers, that is not how we are taught. This is a complete package together. Okay? Is something in the heart, fil janan, in the heart, wa kalimatin ala lisan, and a word by the tongue, and wa amalun bil arkan, and working with the pillars of Islam, like all of it together. And al-ittiba' is part of belief. Okay? You know, those who say that, they want to separate between alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. They separate amal from iman. No. Iman leads to amal. It must lead to amal. Yes. To action.
Go ahead. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I have two questions, actually one request and one question.
Oh, I'm scared already.
When you decide the 6 o'clock, food will be over, will you let us know? only few of us. And also, can you elaborate more on Lam Yusirru?
Lam Yusirru, yeah. They do not insist on what they have done.
What does that
Meaning, I committed a sin, I remember Allah, I ask for forgiveness, and maybe I'll do it again next week. Yes, yes. So part of the repentance is to insist to yourself that, at least at that moment, that's it. I truly not going to go back to this. Now, does that guarantee that you're not going to back to it? No. It just, you are very sincere when you said that. A year from now, you might fall into it again. And you do the same thing. And Allah says, I will forgive you and keep forgiving you. Okay? Allah will be happy with us that my servant committed sin. He knew I am the most forgiving. He comes to me, knowing I forgive him. He repents, so I forgive him. Yes, it continues. But at the moment of repentance, there is an insistence and determination not to go back. Yes.
So his name is Sattar.
Abdus-Sattar, I know Abdus-Sattar, yes. he came to me after Jum'ah today. Yes. He said, I'm going to come to the halakha today. I said, inshallah.
Brother Mahmoud, I want to ask that you said so much about the heart, yes. Mm-hmm. And what about the mind and heart? I mean, can their manifestation is necessary? Sometimes your heart says, or lies somewhere, then your brain is trying to give you reasons. I mean, so something about this both.
Yeah. Well, the heart has an intellect as well. The heart has an intellect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And Allah said, وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةِ. Allah created to you sam' hearing, absar vision, and then afida. Another word for qalb is fu'ad, heart, right? So what does that mean? Means you hear something, you hear something and you learn through hearing, right? Then you see it, you experimented, now you get to a conclusion. The conclusion becomes a fact in your heart, right? It becomes, that's it, that is yaqeen, absolutely now fact now, okay? So when the knowledge of about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes a yaqeen in your heart, your intellect is not going to take over. You understand? But the knowledge about Allah will take over. Okay. There is a poem in Arabic. It says, علم العليم وعقل العاقل اختلفا من ذا الذي منهما قد أحرز الشرفا. The knowledge of a knowledgeable one and the intellect of intellectual one, they have an argument, right? So the knowledge and intellect are arguing, right? من ذا الذي منا قد أحرز الشرفة. Who's among us have the most honor? Okay, so the العلم قال, knowledge said, okay, أنا أحرزت الشرفة, that I like, of course, I am the one who reached all the higher honor. So the argument that the عقل, the intellect says, العقل قال, the intellect said, الرحمن بعرفة, the most merciful was known through me, right? Like Allah, you know Allah through your intellect, right? So the intellect says, the most merciful was known through me. So now the knowledge comes back and says, and they said, فَأَفْصَحَ الْعَقْلُ فَأَفْصَحَ الْعِلْمُ فَصَاحَةً وَقَالَ أَيُّنَا اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ عُرِفَ لَا لَيْسَ عُرِفَ أَيُّنَا اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ سُمِّيَ, يعني which one of us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was called with. Another word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called as Al-Alim or Al-Aqil. Al-Alim, right? Right? So the saying goes, فَأَيْقَنَ الْعَقْلُ أَنَّ الْعِلْمَ سَيِّدَهُ. Then the intellect now realizes that the knowledge is its master. فَقَبَّلَ الْعَقْلُ رَأْسَ الْعِلْمِ وَانْصَرَفَ. Then the intellect kissed the head of knowledge and they both left. Okay. The knowledge, okay, about Allah, when it is deep in the heart, and the commitment to Allah is deep in the heart, then the intellect cannot cover it. The intellect is to receive the text. To learn the text through the intellect and to look at it, how to be implemented. So it is for implementation, not for judgment. So we do not have our intellect to judge the text. I have our intellect to implement the text. Okay? So you answer your question. I know I went through all around. The answer to your question is, Yes, that once the knowledge of the heart will be there, and that comes through hearing and seeing and reflecting, okay, then the that knowledge will be over the intellect, rather the intellect's over it. Wallahu a'lam.
The heart filters the good, keeps the good information and rejects the other, tell the brain that that's not acceptable, but brain could still be trying to find the reasons to penetrate into your heart, or at somebody's heart.
Yes.
It's the heart actually which rejects those negative forces.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. For talking about somebody, like exposing, discussing, when it comes to someone like a leader in the community and people discussing, sometimes when people are discussing about the bad quality that the person has, at that point, are you committing, like, where you're trying to expose, like, this kind of sin, or where does it stop? And it's not like some friend or brother you're talking about. You're talking about leader, someone who's running for, let's say, office. You say, no, this person, he has these qualities which I don't approve, and so on. So with that, how does, where does that fall?
Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when somebody asks, when is the hour? When is the day of judgment? When is the as-sa'a, mat as-sa'a? So Rasulullah sallam said, إِذَا ضُيَّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When the amana, the trust, is wasted, is not kept, then wait for the hour. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, and how the trust will be not kept? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa said, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ لِغَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When the matter is given to those who do not deserve or not qualified to carry it, wait for the hour. I mean, that is wasting the amana. Okay? So this is where the question is, if somebody is running for office, running for something, right? And he is not qualified, okay? And you still give him that amana, wait for the day of judgment. It is near. Okay? That is something that is sinful to do. Okay? So, are you saying that he is not qualified because and you expose his faults or you expose his imperfection because of the quality that that he does not have that would be, you know, responsible for or be able to carry the task? Whatever is done has to be done for only the need. So the matter will not go to those who are not qualified to carry it. Okay? Not for the purpose of exposing them. Okay? And again, is it a matter of personal issues? The matter of personal issues, you don't do that. You don't do that, no matter what. Okay? And also that goes into many other categories, meaning that, you know, a person who has qualities not up to the standards but has other qualities that are very high that it is needed at this time. Would you prefer him with a person who is very pious but he's not quite capable of these matters, his talent in a certain field is less than the other one? Which one are you going to use? Also, you look at the benefit of the society. Okay? The one who's strong, he's strong for the whole community. For example, in the time of war, this person would be the one to be picked. At the time of peace, maybe we'll pick someone else, and so forth and so on. Wallahu a'la wa a'lam.
The leader is corrupt visibly, that he is. I mean, the punishment will be on the people who selected them.
Yes. 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 for those to elect and put people in positions that you know that they do not deserve it. Yes, and it is difficult to. Yes, there is penalty for that. I'm trying to reflect on one hadith, but I don't know the authenticity of it, so I'm not going to mention it about entering Jannah for those people. But yes, there is definitely a responsibility for those who are electing and putting people in position that are there is a responsibility upon them, and they will be asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are giving the amanah for those who do not deserve it. Yes.
This reflects also the sickness in the society.
Yes.
And the leaders are the one from the people. People are, you know, not pious or not. They elect leaders like that.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, mm-hmm. that, you know, if there are four witnesses to adultery, the Islamic society has gone so bad that it is happening openly.
Yes.
Same with this, I mean, they're selecting the leader in the
correct. Of a, it goes through the whole levels of the society, yes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about, closer to the signs of Qiyamah, that those who do not have the knowledge, they'll be the one who speaks. Luka ibn Luka. 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 The word is like don't know anything. Don't know anything. And they will be pushed forward to speak and so forth. And Rasulullah ﷺ told us about those who will without the knowledge and give some fatwa and on the doors of hellfire and go to hellfire and take others with them.
The Imam or the in the Quran many times I have seen Allah said to the Muslim ruler.
The what?
Muslim ruler, uh-huh. who rule the country, in a Muslim country, like for example, mm-hmm. all this Muslim country, and they are supposed to be imam, right? They should lead the prayer and establish Allah's Islam and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But they don't do that. They are all corrupt. Mm-hmm. And the people elect them. And they do all the munafiking. They do shake their hand with the munafiking and do the work mm-hmm. for the munafiking, mm-hmm. but not for the people of the country. Mm-hmm. What about them? And also the Muslim country, knowingly that it's Allah has prohibited women to become prime minister or president of the country, of the Muslim country, which is Allah does not want, but we still, the Muslim country, do that. What about those issues?
So what's your question?
My question is, what happened to those leaders?
Well, okay, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Jabir radiallahu anhu was asked, he said that the companions would ask about good things and they would ask about fitna, about problems, about what to come. So in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There will be leaders upon you that they love you and you love them. They make dua for you and you make dua for them. And then there will be those who they hate you and you hate them. And they curse you and you curse them." Okay? So one of the companions said, "Ya Rasulullah, so when they are here, we'll go over them with the sword?" Right? Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "No, so long that establish prayer among you." Okay, that is the limit. It does not matter what they do, you work with them still. Okay, so long that the prayer is being established. Okay, so long that the prayer is being established, you work within the system, even though it is corrupt, even that, you work within it, you work with it, you try to fix it, and on and so forth. But you do not hold a sword against it. Okay? You do not take it as an enemy that you fight against. No. And this is something that we all need to learn. Okay? We all need to learn. It is very easy to to start cursing the leaders and start saying, you know, this is actions against the Muslim society, leaders and so forth, is unacceptable. If the prayer is established, then you have to work within it, even if there has so much faults. And even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that in the Battle of Badr, as we mentioned earlier today, that it was Talha, I believe, radiallahu anhu, who and his father, they met the Quraysh. And Quraysh asked them, how could you go to where Muhammad is and so forth? And there were talk between them. So finally asked them to take a covenant, an agreement, not to fight against them. Go, we'll let you go, no problem, but do not fight against us. So they did. He did and gave them a covenant that we're not going to fight against you. Now he goes to and he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was before the Battle of Badr. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. I give covenant to the disbelievers, the kuffar. Okay, what do I do? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we keep our covenant with the kuffar and Allah will help us against them. Okay? So he told him to keep that covenant. But so do not have to come and fight by our side against them. And Allah will help us against them. Okay? So these matters of rebellions against rulers, this is not a matter that is simple and easy and just open wide like that. No. It has rules and regulations. And the standard is, no matter, as you described, you're doing this, you're doing that, and all of that, the matter is, are the masajid open, are the adhan is given, the prayer is done, and so forth, and you're allowed to pray? Yes, so then you have to work within the system. Wallahu a'lam. Mm-hmm.
You can stay here.
The problem is people vote for them, that's why they come in.
See, if you have 10 thieves and they're going to elect one from among them to be their leaders, so so you know that the leader is going to be a thief, right? If you have 8 thieves and 2 honest ones, it's a slim chance to have a leader who is not a thief. If you have 5 and 5, there is a big chance you'll have an honest person. But most likely, you'll find one of his aides is a thief. Okay? But if you start going the other way now, and you have 8 good ones and 2 thieves, then most likely the society will be on the right track. This is what we're doing. We are trying to raise the whole ummah. We, meaning all the Muslimin, trying to raise this whole ummah to the level of at least 8 honest ones among 10 thieves. Okay? Okay. And when that happens, the matter will become favorable to us. And we start by aqeedah, by belief, but with the right kind of belief, with the La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that has to be fixed first. And everything will be built on that. Okay? And again, it is filtering anything that comes to this aqeedah polluted. We constantly filter in it, okay, and then go to our manners and bring it up to the manners and ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those two need to work hand in hand all the time. And the more of us who do this, the more hope that we have in be at the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "You deserve now my help." And it is this kind of being in control and being able to give goodness to others, it is given by Allah to those who are capable of doing that and worthy of getting it. So we just have to keep working on getting worthy. Allahu A'lam.
Statistically, the problem is if everybody is honest and there is only one thief, he gets selected. that's what Brother Zainul Abidin said.
No.
Regardless what happened, she's going to be a prime minister.
Yeah, but if those who are honest
and we have one
and knowledgeable, they will not do that. Allahu Allahu A'lam. Yeah.
They say this disease is bigger because once upon a time, my uncle, we're talking about this, he says, it's like this, if your body felt sick, any limb of your body, you get a surgery, you get it done, it's cracked, you can still live, fine. If your soul got injured, or your soul is sick, now it's really, you need a bigger treatment.
Mm-hmm.
They say if the country is, some people are taking bribes, it's on a lower level, higher level, but when a country is, ruler of the country, or the highest portion of the country, start taking these things, then they say, it's just like your soul is sick now. You need to build your nation from child up, because now everything is polluted. It's very difficult. It's difficult to, really survive with honor.
Mm-hmm.
For small people's taken here and there, the country ruler is still good, he's trying to manage, trying to put things in perspective and for trying to, bring things to, back to a good level. But when he starts taking by himself, then everybody else is looting, and he said, you need a bigger treatment.
Yes. And each one, we are all in circles.
Yes.
Okay? We live within certain circles. And if each one of us take care of his own circle, as an individual, as a family, as a community, as a bigger community, and so forth, eventually these circles will meet, okay? And then this huge, huge circle of pious people, they, inshallah, will be worthy. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, that it will happen. In a hadith, that Abu Huwala or Ibn Huwala said, hadith that is sahih, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on his head and says, Ya Ibn Huwala, Ara'ayta is nazalat, he talked about Bayt al-Maqdis, Palestine, Bayt al-Maqdis. Okay. إذا نزلت الخلافة بيت المقدس. You know Huwala, when the Khilafah comes on Bayt al-Maqdis, in our history, there was no Khilafah in Bayt al-Maqdis, right? So in this hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Khilafah will come to Bayt al-Maqdis. Okay. And at that time, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, تَكْثُرُ الزَّلَازِلِ, that the earthquake will be plenty earthquake at that time. Okay? And وَالْأُمُورِ الْعِظَامِ, and big matters, matters will happen at that time. And at that time, Huwala, the day of judgment is closer to you more than my hand closer to your head. The day of judgment closer to the earth or to people, more than my hand closer to the distance between my hand and your head. So the point being is that yes, the Khilafah will come back, okay, and this is in other ahadith as well, okay. So when that happens, or this will happen, when the Muslimin are deserving for this to happen. So in another ahadith, Rasulullah Sallam told us about that the one who will be, will be elected as a khalifa, or be as a khalifa, given the bay'ah, he will fill the earth, justice and fairness, as it was filled injustice over injustice. Okay? That means everybody, or wherever the Muslims are that day, justice will prevail, people will be happier or experiencing justice and so forth. So those who will be able to do so, they have to be close to Allah and they have to know what to do and how to do it and when to do it, the knowledge of it. And when we are qualified, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us and help others to bring justice around. Wallahu a'lam.
The time is 8:26 p.m.
Still very early. Okay.
I have two questions.
Yes.
One is, even the perfect time, people used to pray through the Jerusalem, right?
I'm sorry? Yes.
Even Prophet himself, is to pray through the Jerusalem. Jerusalem was built before the Makkah, is it? Right?
No, after the Kaaba.
Oh, Jerusalem mosque was built after the Kaaba?
40 years.
40 years after the Kaaba?
Yeah, 40, yes.
Okay.
This is a hadith sahih.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Yes.
Because I was heard from somebody that it was built before.
No.
Okay. Number two, that the mosque that was turned around from the Jerusalem to the Kaaba, is true?
Yeah. Yes.
When they were doing the Salah, the mosque itself turned around and
No. As the ayat came down, and someone went and were telling all the Muslims that the Qibla has changed, the direction of the prayer has changed.
Yeah,
so he entered the masjid and they were praying in Medina and they were praying toward north. And so he came and says the news that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was revealed upon him that the Qibla now is to the Kaaba. So the Imam went around and during that particular prayer, went around there, and the Mumun turned around and faced the other one. So it is, yes. And we understand from that, or what we get from that is, you know, again, sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. They did not even wait to finish the prayer. Immediately they obeyed.
Yeah, but
by a news from one person, because it was trustworthy, saying this is done.
See, this is the problem in the third world country, Muslim country, especially in non-Arab country. The fatwa was that whole mosque.
There is a twist done to things a little bit. Yes.
I've seen that mosque. They have the old Qibla and the new Qibla there.
But God could do anything, but that's not what happened. Exactly. He's unlimited, you know.
So there's a lot of fatwa, a lot of hadith came to the man made, like saying the Yul Jannah in the feet of your mothers.
Yes.
And the question is mother Guru Jannah? I don't know. So how can my Jannah go on my mother's feet?
Yes.
Is my mother going to
Jannah? I mean, if you serve her.
Yes. But by you being good to your mother, that is the way to Jannah.
Yeah, that's understood. But